Thank you very much and good morning, everybody. It's also a pleasure for me to be here for making some opening remarks at this international conference, which is traditionally held at the end of the Knowledge Networking Program each year. And it is true, as Nilufar said, that we were very pleased to be able to support the startup phase of this work some years ago. And we're very gratified to learn each year of the continuing success and the growing strength of the network. The topic of this conference, gender and global economic crisis, is highly relevant. The gender perspectives of the crisis have been given increasing attention over the past year as the serious and widespread impact of the global economic recession on the real economy and on the lives of people, women and men, particularly in developing countries, is being considered. And I think we're all very clear that experience from the past economic crises and financial crises have shown very clearly that different and unequal impacts are felt by women and men, and this affects their potential to be able to respond and to develop effective coping strategies. We know that economic crises put a disproportionate burden on women, largely because they're concentrated in vulnerable employment, they're more likely to be unemployed than men, and they tend to have lower unemployment and social security benefits, and unequal access to and control over resources. We know that women take on additional responsibilities to provide substitutes for market goods that their families can no longer afford. And it's therefore very critical that we consider the gender perspectives in both the short and long-term responses to the crisis at local, national, regional, and international levels. And the topic of the economic crisis is increasingly urgent from a gender perspective because of the linkages with other crises, such as the food crisis and the energy crisis, and of course its links also to climate change. And as Jomo pointed out, although food prices have declined somewhat from the peak in 2008, the continuing economic crisis has an impact on the poor in both rural and urban areas and undermines the livelihood strategies of women and threatens the well-being of their families. You've gathered a wide range of expertise in the field, and over the coming days, you're going to examine in detail many of the critical aspects of the current economic crisis. Since this international conference is being held for the first time in the United Nations headquarters, I'd like to focus my opening remarks on some of the important global policy mandates that already exist to support work on women, gender equality, and economic development, as well as some of the efforts being made by United Nations entities to ensure that there is a gender-responsive response to the crisis. There are many strong and quite comprehensive international mandates on women, gender equality and economic empowerment, and increasing references to the economic crisis in intergovernmental contexts. And I believe that these can be utilised more effectively to bring increased attention to women and gender equality in the current crisis. For example, we can go back to 1995 to the Platform for Action, which was adopted at the Fourth World Conference on Women, and has a critical area of concern, women in the economy, which sets out strategic objectives and specific recommendations for action. This framework takes up things such as women's economic rights and independence, employment, economic resources, markets, trade, business services, training, information and technology, and developing women's economic networks. It's a very important framework, which unfortunately still has not been implemented, and I think we should go back and use that framework more effectively. The Commission on the Status of Women here at the United Nations regularly follows up implementation of this critical area of concern. It adopted a resolution, for example, in 2005 on the economic advancement of women, which called on member states to develop the financial sector to increase women's access to control over savings, credit, and other financial services. And also, very importantly, to include women fully in the management, planning, and decision-making processes in relation to the economy. In 2008, the Commission focused on financing for gender equality and the empowerment of women as its priority theme, and governments were urged to undertake legislative and administrative reforms to give women full and equal access to economic resources, including through inheritance and ownership of land and other property, credit, natural resources, and appropriate technologies. I brought a few copies of these agreed conclusions and have left them at the back of the room for you to refer to. And when the Commission this year was considering the equal sharing of responsibilities between women and men, including caregiving in the context of HIV/AIDS, it also focused on issues of importance to the economic crisis and urged governments to develop and improve sustainable and adequate social protection and insurance schemes, including pensions and savings schemes that meet basic minimum needs. The Commission expressed its great concern over the negative impact of the crisis and the fact that it could hamper the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals and the Platform for Action. In 2009, the Commission also discussed the gender perspectives of the financial crisis as its emerging issue. In an interactive expert panel, the participants agreed that these financial and economic crises have gender-specific impacts and place a disproportionate burden on women. They noted that both women and men are affected by job losses, and women are sometimes laid off first because men are traditionally considered to be the main wage earners. And while in some countries, traditionally male-dominated sectors are currently experiencing heavy job losses, there are also countries where the jobs lost are mainly in the female-dominated sectors. And cuts in public expenditures in the social sector have already been seen to negatively affect the care economy and to increase women's unequal domestic and caregiving responsibilities. And many of the participants noted that the effects are most visible in the informal sector. It was also pointed out that since women constitute the majority of microfinance clients, their access to credit is also expected to decline. And they recommended that gender perspectives be fully incorporated into all responses to the crisis. While the role of the Commission on the Status of Women is quite well known, the role of the General Assembly, in particular the Second Committee, is not as well known. The Assembly also addresses the issue of women and development, in particular economic development, on a biannual basis. In 2007, it urged governments to increase investments in infrastructure and other measures that would reduce the burden of unpaid work on women and create opportunities for their economic empowerment. And on a five-yearly basis, the committee considers a flagship report, the World Survey on the Role of Women in Development. The current World Survey, which will be presented to the General Assembly this October and then launched in New York and in the five regional commissions, is focused on a critical issue in the context of the economic crisis: women's access to and control over economic and financial resources. In the report, economic and financial resources are considered in a broad perspective, including employment, productive resources such as land, housing, natural resources, and technologies, financial resources including credit and savings, and social protection measures. The World Survey notes that the existing constraints and challenges that women face in accessing and controlling resources will be exacerbated in the current crisis. It also notes the significant underrepresentation of women in all areas and at all levels of economic decision making. I would encourage you to use the occasion of the launch and the availability of this publication in all six languages of the United Nations to highlight the importance of consideration of women's access to and control over resources in the current economic crisis. The Doha Declaration on Financing for Development from last year, from the follow-up international conference, expressed a deep concern at the severe impact on development of the multiple interrelated crises, including the financial crisis. And member states reaffirmed that their commitment to eliminate gender-based discrimination. Very importantly, they also reiterated their commitment to promote capacity building of states and all other stakeholders in gender-responsive public finance management, including gender-responsive budgeting. In the context of the economic crisis, gender-responsive budgeting becomes even more important to ensure that government commitments to gender equality are matched with adequate resources and to ensure that resources for gender equality are not reduced as a result of the crisis. As Joma pointed out, at the end of last month, a three-day conference on the crisis was held to identify the short and long-term responses. The disproportionate burden on women of the previous crises was recognised at the conference, in particular the impact on employment. And women's increased income insecurity and the burden of care they face in the context of crisis was also acknowledged. In the way forward section of the outcome document from the conference, a number of processes and mechanisms are proposed which need to be considered from a gender perspective. The outcome calls, for example, for efforts in support of national development strategies and in relation to migration, and refers to the importance of ILO's Global Jobs Pact. The General Assembly is invited to establish an ad hoc, open-ended working group and encouraged to make the crisis a main theme of the general debate at its 64th session. And ECOSOC is requested to make recommendations to the General Assembly on the possible establishment of an ad hoc panel of experts on the crisis and its impact on development. These present important opportunities for increasing attention to women's situation and the gender equality aspects of the crisis. As the web manager of the Interagency Information Portal on Gender Equality and the Empowerment of Women, Women Watch, the Division for the Advancement of Women developed a feature page to provide information on the efforts of the United Nations system to address gender perspectives in the crisis. The feature page provides information from a number of UN entities, including the Economic Commission for Europe, ILO, INSTRAW, UNCTAD, UNDP, UNESCO, UNICEF, and UNIFEM, as well as the World Bank. And the efforts cover a range of issues, including employment, entrepreneurship, social protection, poverty reduction, and the situation of migrant women workers. UNICEF has also prepared a paper on the impacts on women and girls of the current crisis and the implications for policy responses on behalf of the interagency network. This paper is not yet available on the web, but will be available soon. The Department of Economic and Social Affairs also has a web page on the financial crisis, which gives specific attention to gender equality perspectives. The CEDAW committee issued a statement in February this year to voice its concern on the impact of the crisis, raising in particular the potential impact on the full realisation of human rights of women and girls as a result of the social and economic consequences, and also potential increases in societal and domestic violence. The committee underscored the importance of recognising the unique contribution that women can make in the timely resolution of the crisis and called on states to include women in dialogue and decision-making processes. The Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women has also issued a statement noting that systematic gender analysis of the crisis is critical for developing viable solutions and upholding human rights standards. Concerns have been raised by many of these UN entities about the possible eroding of the gains already made on gender equality and empowerment of women, as well as the risk of a reduction of funds available to support these critical goals. The World Survey makes very clear that the challenges and the constraints that women already face can be exacerbated by the crisis. It's therefore critical, as the Under-Secretary General, Mr. Shah, from the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, stated when he addressed the Commission earlier this year, that policy responses are gender sensitive. And he noted in particular the need to take gender equality perspectives into account in employment creation and investments in social infrastructure. While many have warned for and provided increasing examples of the disproportionate impact on women, there are others who have noted that the responses and the reforms underway to address the crisis do offer opportunities to increase attention to gender equality. It is important to build on these opportunities and to take full advantage of them. I just want to mention a couple of these advantages that should be utilised by all stakeholders, whether they're governments, United Nations, other organisations, academics, NGOs, and the private sector. The first, of course, and the most important perhaps, is the immediate follow-up to the General Assembly conference that I discussed briefly earlier. Other important opportunities include the launch of the World Survey on the role of women in development in all regions. And we also need to consider the commemoration of the 15th anniversary of the adoption of the Platform for Action in the Commission on the Status of Women in March next year. And the ECOSOC will also take up gender equality and empowerment of women at the annual ministerial review and the Development Cooperation Forum in July next year. Your expertise and the unique perspectives that you bring as researchers and advocates and activists and practitioners is critical to ensuring a sound knowledge base and data on the gender-specific impacts and consequences, as well as on the measures required to address the specific constraints and challenges that women face in different contexts. I hope that I've been able to provide you with a relevant UN setting for your discussions over the coming 2 days by highlighting the importance of the United Nations, raising a number of existing mandates which need to be utilised more effectively, highlighting the efforts of United Nations entities that can be linked up to, and also noting some of the upcoming opportunities for ensuring increased attention to gender, women, and the economic crisis. I would encourage you to find ways to support and contribute to the work of the United Nations and also to systematically and effectively use the outcomes as critical instruments in your own work in this area. Thank you very much.